I contenuti sono in mani e anzi in voci ben più interessanti della mia e quindi do subito la parola a Jean-Patrick Villeneuve, a cui abbiamo affidato il keynote speech della giornata. Jean-Patrick Villeneuve è professore al Swiss Graduate School of Public Administration di Losanna, che è l'istituto di la scuola di pubblica, una delle scuole di pubblica amministrazione, ha imparato, non è l'unica, in Svizzera, e che terrà la sua relazione su Customer Satisfaction Management, Striving for a More Satisfied Customer or A More Trusting Citizen. Leggo il titolo così come mi è stato proposto, la traduzione la lascio all'interprete. Jean-Patrick Villeneuve parlerà in inglese ed è disponibile, come è già stato detto, a traduzione simultanea per chi ne avesse bisogno. Prego, io ho già annunciato, ho già detto a tutti i relatori che sarò costretta ad essere stretta con il rispetto dei tempi e quindi ricordo nuovamente questa necessità. Go, Jean-Patrick.
Thank you very much for these kind words of introduction. Buongiorno a tutti. I will definitely try to stick to the schedule. It is good to remind university professors of the need to follow schedules. We don't have the tendency to do so. Thank you very much to the organizers. Thank you very much to the people responsible for the project for having invited me here to talk about a subject that I think is, of course, very interesting, but also very important for public administration. What I want to do today with you is to discuss a bit some of the limits, the realities, and the opportunities presented by the approaches that we call customer satisfaction management. Go a bit beyond the mechanics of how we do things to reflect on their implication and the difficulty of implementing these things in the public sector. What are we trying to do with customer satisfaction management? As the title says, are we trying to have more satisfied customer, more trusting citizens? I'll also address the issue of relevance. As been mentioned a number of times so far, we are in a very particular period for public administrations. How relevant is it to talk about such a topic when we're faced with financial difficulties? Customer satisfaction management consists in believing that what citizens think of your services does matter, at least a little. It sounds very simple to say, yes, well, it's important. The people that are receiving your services should be satisfied with them. It's not that simple. It's not that old. Except includes a number of the setting of standards of services and for citizens, what level of service they can to deliver. It's a series of steps to measure the way in which we're accomplishing or absolutely not accomplishing standards we've established. Good manager knows evaluation is very nice. You have to do something with your evaluation management cycle. You have to use these information to pilot your organization. Otherwise, it's a nice activity. You can summer students on this if you're not to do anything with that. What you need to do is, of course, manage the specifics of the information you'll receive out of that process, bring it into the development of your services, but also into the general management of your organization. It does not simply allow you to tailor and to react to the delivery of services, but also has an impact on the general organization you are piloting. Where does that come from? No, it's not new. But it did regain a lot of currency following the trends of new public management in the 1980s and 1990s. A lot of you have read the experiences in new public management in New Zealand. The British have, of course, done that. This idea that the traditional public... Excellent. Well, this idea that public organizations are not efficient, well, that they're slow to react, that they're rigid, that the private sector is doing so much better. Well, that sentence made sense at the time, I guess, following a large financial crisis and a number of experiences, not so much anymore. That did imply for public sectors around the world to have and to integrate logics of efficiency, logics of competition within what they were doing. It means also the transformation, and that's key for what we're talking today, a fundamental transformation of the role of the citizens and the nature of the relationship between public organizations and citizens. We now needed to be reactive to their needs. We needed to integrate their logic into the management of our organizations. The simple respect of budgetary lines was not sufficient anymore. Technical criteria were fine, but that was not enough. We needed to go further and to do more. In doing that and going from an input-oriented management, that is, I'll control what I give you, up to you to fulfill your mission, to checking and verifying how much outputs you're generating, what you're doing with the inputs we're giving you. The main tools we use to develop customer satisfaction management is based on the service quality model, and we talked about this general model of quality. Parasuraman Servqual serves as some of the basics in terms of the actual methodology of doing customer satisfaction management. Why are we doing this? At a time where a lot of our resources are tied down, why would we decide to focus on customer service management? We have objectives in management, better general management. It's a new metric, new information that we're feeding into. Yeah. Louder. Okay, sorry. Okay, so I have an enormous feedback. I get the impression I'm yelling to you. Obviously, I'm not. So a first objective of management, it's a new metric we get in the management cycle, new information we get. We include the citizens in that cycle, and it's deemed important. Their opinion is deemed important. An objective in terms of governance. By taking into account what citizens think, we're giving them a chance to participate. We're giving them a voice. In a lot of countries, we're generating more transparency by doing that. Two fundamental objectives of management and governance, of course, achieved by doing and implementing these procedures in a proactive and positive manner. I thought it was important to highlight and to underline the approach unfortunately used in a number of countries where basically it's an alibi. We'll do customer satisfaction, but basically if they're not happy, it's not going to change anything, really, is it? We don't intend to feedback any of these information in the system. It can be an alibi in management as well. It can be a good way of cutting resources for organizations that are underperforming. It's a nice way of ranking organizations as well. In terms of governance, you're the ones controlling the system. You're the one controlling the questions you'll be asking people. There's a way to do and to use these tools in a way that benefits you, whether or not you are generating quality. So that's important to take that into consideration. Taking into account the citizen this way in consumer satisfaction management was quickly criticized in the literature coming from the academic side. Three things posed problem to some of my colleagues. The first one was the customer, the second one the satisfaction, third one the management. How do we address that? How do we address the complexity of customer satisfaction of management in the case of the public sector? These critiques were linked to fundamental challenges of implementing model in the public sector. Whose perceptions are measured? Who are we going to ask? Who's being surveyed? What do we measure? We can measure a lot of things. How do we measure that? How do we use the information that's gathered? And as well, and unfortunately academics don't often ask that question, but does it really matter? Does it help us, in a sense, does it help you as managers of public sector administration to do your job? Whose perceptions are we measuring? Talk of customer as a word, but it's a bit more complicated than that. as it unfortunately always is. Do we look at direct users, the one that directly uses services? Do we use at those that are the average citizens that are paying taxes but not necessarily using our services, the outputs we produce? Those that don't use it and pay, you know, parents of children going to school, do we measure their opinion, indirect user? There's a number of people. There's also that fundamental question that for a long time has been left to a political debate, opposing models of a consumer, the citizen, the public sector, the private sector. But we find now, from a public administration point of view, that the people we have in front of us have a number of hats. They're embodying a lot of persona, and of course not only customer. Because all these concepts do mean something different. They all imply different expectations as well. We see organizations that combine all these vocabulary in their official documentation. They talk about the customer, citizen, partner, user, administered. You put a little comma and you get everyone under the radar. Or you oppose things. Right? A customer is not a user. You try to make a clear differentiation between that. Surveying international literature, we find interesting cases of organizations that have decided to pick one of these hats. The American penitentiary system claims it has customers. As an inmate, you're a customer. Well, that's quite interesting. As a Canadian taxpayer who does not have the luxury of not paying taxes, I can call the customer service. I thought customer logic implied choice. I was told I did not have a choice, unfortunately. It is complicated because there is a certain level of what's been called schizophrenia. We have many hats. The proportion of one and the other vary according to the service we're claiming, according to the organization we're facing. And to add to all of this is the fundamental nature of the public sector. Talking about a customer is one thing, but in the public sector, even if at a small level of the transaction, you are still a citizen. In that 1%, that 0.5%, if you want to go in the metric evaluation, is always present in the relationship. It cannot be wished away, and it forms some of the fundamental basis of the complexity of the system. Just to give you an idea for some of the activities, I sort of looked at some of the models, and I thought I won't absolutely not go into any details on this, but I thought it was always interesting to look at the different logics. In having all these people in front of you as a public organization, you have models like the administered on their logic of obligation and the consumer on their logic of choice. Not easy to conciliate. I've got there just to show you the differentiation that has to be made between these different elements. So yes, consumer, customer, but not just a customer. It's a bit more than that. So we've covered who we're querying. What do we measure? I mentioned the self-qual approach. That's the main concept of self-qual. We're measuring gaps in quality, the difference between what I expect and what I get. Of course, the first approach is to say, well, we will be striving hard to play on what the citizen receives in the exchange. Their evaluation of the quality we do. Of course, you can play the other arrow. You can play and try to manage what they're expecting. That lowers the gap as well. Satisfaction is the key name we use in the concept. But is satisfaction enough in the public sector? Or don't we have a more complex construct? As a professor, I can get 100% satisfaction for my students. I give everyone 100%. They'll be very satisfied. I will have failed miserably in my job as a professor. But in terms of a ranking on satisfaction, it's fantastic. It's more than that because we have to account for efficiency, for effectiveness, for trust, respect of administrative laws. There's a number of elements we have as public sector administrators that do not allow us to focus exclusively on satisfaction, or rather that push us to define satisfaction in a wider way. How do we measure things? There's all kinds of methodology. Again, taken from the customer satisfaction management primer, you see some of the gaps that are evaluated. So we evaluate, for example, in gap 5, how people what service people expect and how they perceived the service they received. Is there a difference there? Was I expecting to receive a service within 5 minutes, but yeah, I waited half an hour? It's a very interesting model that's been added on over the years through the experiences of exactly what Italy is doing right now, doing experiences and finding some of the other gaps, some of the other approach that can be had. But it raises questions. Is perception the right approach? A number of civil servants have told me, well, perception is really nice, but basically the citizen has no idea. I have technical knowledge. Do their opinion matter? I don't know. Have other gaps? Well, is there stuff we've forgotten? Are there gaps that are more important than other? How do we define our approach to measuring the satisfaction of customers? The approach that Parasuraman had, having these gaps, was to make a questionnaire, 22 standardized questions that you can all find on internet. They're quite clear and they're focusing on various different elements to be able to fill out this table. How do we use the information? A nice little graph that you'll see in a lot of customer satisfaction management guides ranks the perception people have, positive or negative, and your performance, with a central zone, which seems absolutely normal. That is, if you improve, if your performance gets better or poorer by 1%, most likely the evaluation of people will not change tremendously. It might stay the same because you're in this middle zone. Your service is considered adequate. Yet, and in this field, it's quite interesting because no matter the author, everybody takes the same examples of a restaurant to explain the logics of some of these vectors. What's a satisfier? It's something that when present, the citizen will say, my God, this is great. I'm happy they did that. But if it's absent, it doesn't really matter. It's the waiter at the restaurant that remembers your name. If he does, it's quite nice. If he doesn't, will your evaluation change? Probably not. Critical things, speed of service. If service is fast, you'll be happy. If service is slow, you won't be happy. And what I always found the most interesting, dissatisfiers. What are the things that, if you get wrong, you're in trouble? It's the dirty fork example. If the plate is super, super, super clean, it's fine. That's what you expect. There's no difference between clean and super clean, even if it means an investment that's quite big. But the smallest bit of dirt will cause a general problem. For a small element, you will take a hit in terms of citizens' evaluation of your performance. You get all these graphs. It's interesting. You get the data. You've evaluated the whole thing. What level of importance do you give to this in your general management? Is it one of 25 elements? Is it a key vector? Is it something you're evaluated on, or is it not? It aims at excellent performance, of course. Is that your goal? You have key strategic objectives in terms of public, in terms of service, or not? How are you going to navigate, and how are you going to prioritize the elements and the results you got? I thought it interesting just to underline some of the foreign experiences in trying to build that full model, having standards, evaluating citizens' perception, integrating data into management. Canadians at the federal level, two high-level civil servants have developed their citizen-first model. This is the questionnaire based on the general model, but they added elements, notably in terms of trust. They added questions, they added gaps, trying to get closer to reality in a public sector setting. In Quebec, my own province, Déclaration de service aux citoyens, the mandatory requirements for all public organizations to have on their website their key promises to citizens, to have on their website the evaluation of their performance. Well, that's a bit less comfortable as an administrator. You do the process to improve internally, but it's also externally. French have had a similar approach in the national government, the Marianne approach that they call, where they'd focus on facilitating access, being attentive and courteous, responding systematically to reclamations, listening to people, giving comprehensible answers, not 5 pages of legalese that nobody can understand. I'm professor of public administration. Some of the stuff the Swiss government sends me, I do not understand. So I can only imagine what happens. At the national level, France had that system, works relatively well. What I found really interesting was an experiment that is now going on in the town of Besançon, just north of the French-speaking part of Switzerland. Besançon is about 200,000 people. They're working between the municipal administration and a university on a panel approach. It's not just a one-time, let's ask questions to a random sample of citizens. They identified 200 people representative of the users and non-users of their services. They've developed fairly long interview process to get the feedback from these people in their use of the services, their perception of the services existent, and their desires for future services. All of this is fed back into the administrative machine as a reflection for future services, changes into current services, and modification of the questionnaire for the next year. How was that made possible? High-level involvement by political authorities. The fact that the mayor thought it was a great idea. A long time to get off the ground, but having the backing of the mayor and a lot of resources, because this is not free, of course, works quite well. Of course, I had to mention the UK with their citizens' charter. That list, the expectations British citizen can have of public services in the UK, they were pretty much the first ones to get down that road. In terms of vocabulary, it reads a lot more like a customer's charter than a citizen's charter. Switzerland, we have about nothing in that realm. The industrial services do. If not, and that's where we see that these tools are one amongst a number of tools. Swiss citizens and Swiss public administration find that they get information by different routes. That's, as well, a solution. I've raised a lot. I mean, it's nice being an academic. You can raise a lot of questions and get the administration to, if possible, find solutions. I think what's important is that customer satisfaction management is more than consumers, more than satisfaction, it's more than management. It is complicated because just asking your user, are you happy with the service? They say yes, but opening hours could be longer. You enlarge the opening hours, bingo, you're the best organization in the world. It's not as simple as that, of course. This approach matters for management, for performance management. It is now one of the key tools in public management. Debate as to its usefulness for management over. It is useful for management. That's a conclusion of most studies. Is it implemented everywhere? No. Because of some of the complications I've mentioned, because of the challenge it represents for public organizations. But we see it as a clear advance in administrative management. The environment of organization is increasingly important. Organization cannot manage themselves as if the rest of the system, administrative, economic, and political, was not there. It was possible a few decades ago. Now, integrating the voice of citizens, of civil society, is inescapable. Imagine having an organization that, let's say, deliver permits. What's the next question? Well, how is it going? Well, do you evaluate if people are satisfied with what you're doing? No. Do you know what they're thinking? No. It would be problematic, not having these basic information about your environment. Customer satisfaction management is key, but there are, of course, other elements, as I mentioned. Technical requirements are technical requirements. We now have transparency requirements, accountability requirements. It is part of a large number of elements we are now giving to public administrations as tools. But in this case, central for management. It's central for management, for performance management. It's also central for governance. New public management has, of course, focused all of us on the logics of effectiveness and efficiency. For a number of years now, we're talking more about governance, the links between organizations, the link between organizations and civil society, the way things work. We used to focus on efficiency as the key for citizens' trust. We're not talking about trust. Customer satisfaction management gives us access to information about the environment. And in many ways, it's a precondition to being more transparent. Lacking information as to your user does not allow you to decide how to operate, does not give you any clues aside from a technical decision from within the organization. It does promote participation. I mentioned panels. In the city of Besançon, it's 200 people every year that get quite involved with that in a larger group in terms of e-surveys. It's transparency. Access to information is now present in more than 80 countries. These logics make, as I mentioned, the results of customer satisfaction management be seen by all. By the people using your services, by your colleagues in other organizations. It is part of an added pressure, but it is contributing to a general sense of better governance. It will be forcing organizations to change. If you do customer satisfaction management, you'll know where you're not terribly good. Because it's on the web, citizens will know where you're not terribly good. How are you going to justify not doing anything about it? You have to move on this. And that's part of the logic. It's an interesting tool to avoid threats to your organization, to identify your weaknesses. That's sort of the defensive approach. You get information to basically defend yourself. But it's also very proactive. To me, it allows you to identify your strengths and a few opportunities. Where are you good at? What are you doing well? What could you reinforce in your organization? In that, I think it's very important to think of these things in a positive, proactive manner. Because, of course, if you're doing it, as I mentioned initially, more as an alibi to other things, citizens are not that gullible. They'll see it. The biggest problem organizations have, notably with participatory system, is what? We get people to participate. They invest the time, they invest the energy. What's the results? Well, too many organizations drop the ball. We get them involved and then nothing. It is important in that process, if we want to reap the benefits, to clearly process forward openly and without this alibi argument. So far it's fine. Unfortunately, we are in a bit of a tight situation. A bit of a tight situation financially, and of course, who's being finger-pointed for savings and cuts? Public administrations. In such a system, customer satisfaction management, really. Well, it has allowed us to move and to integrate logics of satisfaction, customer reactivity, with logic of trust, citizens, and participation. It has allowed us to bridge a gap, one of the big conceptual gaps right now in public administration thinking. It does financial benefits, management benefits on steering organization, accountability. If there's a key word right now in public administration, aside from financial cuts, that is, it's accountability. Also, political benefits. We have financial problems. We also have fundamental problems in terms of the trust citizens have into institutions. And that does count as well. It's easy to see all of this as a fad, but I think it's a fausse bonne idée, for those of you speaking French, a false good idea to cut all of these programs. If we're to start cutting, why not cut conferences like this? And I think the parallel is quite interesting. We are investing resources to get people together to discuss and to share ideas, and this is very much part of that trend. Like any good management tool, it's not absolutely free. It takes human resources, it takes money, but it has a large potential to contribute to a better public service in the end. Politicians decide what we should do, public administrations decide how to do it, and customer satisfaction management helps you identify how to do it. For to finish, I mean, are we initially, the title was looking at, well, is it a customer, is it a citizen? I think we're striving for a more satisfied customer and for a more trusting citizen, because we shouldn't forget it is the same person. And in that environment, customer satisfaction management, as being more than customer, more than satisfaction, more than management, can be a very interesting and efficient tool for public administrations. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.